The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
This is the key. The key.
Welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, David Rand, aka Jay from LA. Today is Monday, October the 19th, 2015. And hopefully you're having a good Monday, as well as Mondays can be, right? Okay, so today we have a live show for you today, but before we get started, take care of some administrative things. Everyone, please continue to support Black Talk Radio Network and the programming that is brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. Because where else do you have the programming that's specifically designed for you and for the things that you need and for a voice that you can make known and your opinions to be expressed and your overall best interest is at hand? So please, everyone, continue to support Black Talk Radio Network and the programs that are here. Also, go to Tando Facebook page, and that's THANDO Radio Show. That's THANDO Radio Show on Facebook, and check out some of the postings that we have there. If you have any questions or comments, definitely you can hit us up there, and you can see some of the stories that we have posted there. So today's show, we're going to have a live show for you. It's live. So today we're going to be talking about the table of preparedness. We're going to look at shelter. Shelter is very important, so later on we're going to jump into shelter. But before we do that, let's check out some of the postings that were posted there on Tando Radio Show. Some of you guys had sent me a couple of postings. Just want to thank you all for that. Sister Davis, Brother Braggs always send me some great stuff. Thank you so much, Brother Braggs, you know, as usual. And then there were a couple of other ones that I wanted to acknowledge. And hold on, let me jump in here and wanted you to check out. There was one last weekend. Well, not last weekend, just before the weekend came. This one popped up and was sent by my man Kater Moe. And this was sent on the 16th, Friday the 16th. And this is a pretty good one. Check out this one. The Facebook one, and it came from CNN. 65 million people on Social Security will not get a cost of living increase in 2016, the officials announced. So they made that announcement on Friday. Definitely check that out, and that's going to, you know, greatly affect a lot of people. So also, that was one my man Kater Moe sent. Then there was one Sister Davis had posted how to grow endless supply of ginger indoor, and you could do the same thing with scallions. You just need water. Then it was another one that Sister Davis sent. One of the most unrecognizable health boosting plants is actually a weed, and it was posted there. You really, really need to know some of the, you know, the edible plants and weeds that are out there, because they have definitely some medical uses and are great sources of food. But you have to know which ones they are, and you know, some of the stuff that you see here you see it all the time. But this is a great posting sent to us by Sister Davis. Also, we had America is a bomb waiting to explode. This one came from Russia Today. Really, really good read. Check that one out. And it's basically, you know, the overall you know, the overall decline of the United States is kind of chronicalized there in just a couple of metrics, and they're so true. So just want to check out this one. It says the destruction of the farm and reliable food sources being destroyed. That was number one. Weak economy is number two. America's increasingly on mind-altering drugs. Man, that's a show on its own. And one day we will have that show, because that is so true. And this is a part of the, you know, the so-called shootings, which are nowhere near. I've actually mapped out some of the school shootings and some of the massive shootings that you've seen in the past 2 years, and you'll see a marked increase. And there's a reason why, I believe. But one of the things that they don't talk about is the mind-altering drugs that people are on that are, you know, approved by the FDA, and they're basically prescription drugs. Very important one then for those effects. And this is just even outside of those effects. So many people are now on pharmaceuticals. It's very, very, you know, it's scary how many people are, and how many people have become dependent. This is, believe me, in my opinion, this is definitely a design plan. And it goes back to biblical days. I believe that biblically people were under pharmaceutical drugs, and then they woke up and they started to see things totally different. So this is nothing new. It's been going on for a while. Then next is morality is in, morals are in decline. Then it was nowhere to run. And that nowhere to run was, you know, people are basically in food deserts, and had, you know, they're not sustainable any longer. They're really dependent solely on the overall economic system for their viability and overall sustainability. So we're really exposed to that. Next we have, oh, and that was the last one. So this was a real good article. Check this out, and some real good points, and we will touch on those later on in the week or in the coming weeks with this, because this is so true. It's, you know, America is in great, great decline. So next, another good article you might want to check out is U.S. government is really bankrupt. This is, and here's the proof. This is a really good out of Sovereign Man. Check this one out. A bunch of you have already checked it out. And I would say take the time to listen to the actual audio, the podcast that was on there that was done by Simon Black. Now, one of the things that, you know, because I listened to it, Simon made some really, really good points. But one of the things about the points that Simon was saying, that, you know, they basically the government is lying about his books. His books are cooked, which we already know. And they're not telling you the truth about what's going on in the economy. And then they're making up fictitious assets. And then they're, you know, inflating the value of them and everything else. So they're basically giving you a facade of an economy, and telling people that they have much more than what they have, or they come up with some fictitious way of amortizing the overall value of the assets or whatever it is that they wanted to use as collateral or as a benchmark for the overall national wealth, which is all fictitious and lies. It's just, you know, it's fraudulent in all phases. And one of the things that Simon was bringing out was that, you know, they really do steal, you know, what he classifies as money, which I just classify as currency. Big difference between currency and money. Huge difference, like night and day. But he classifies people losing their money. Well, see, it's not really the money that people are being lost. It's much, much bigger than this, than the money. What is actually being lost by this fraudulent accounting and this facade of an economy, and it's purposely done this way, is not money that's being lost at all. They create money at their own whim, at whenever they want to. Something much, much greater than that. And this is what the greater than money situation, because you could follow the money and it will lead you into an endless, endless tale. A lot of people say just follow the money, it'll lead you to everything. That's not true at all, because the money itself is not real. This is what's the real thing. Your labor is being stolen from you. The energy of your labor is being stolen from you.
Somehow we lost audio on Brother Dave. Give us just a moment as we reconnect. Seems like we've been disconnected, or we have. So sorry for the technical difficulties. Let's rejoin them soon as possible. Give me just a moment. We'll get back in. Apologies. Been experiencing these issues using Skype today. All right, there we go. And we should be reconnected.
Started.
And you jump into that. So it's not really your cash that ever has been taken from you. You didn't have any cash. You didn't create any cash. That was created as a mechanism to steal your labor. But what they want you to do is they want you to show up for work and give all of your years of your whole working life and the ability of your working life, they want you to give that energy to them. Because whatever you do is energy. Whenever you watch a football game, you're watching the kinetic energy of players, what they produce. You're watching the energy of players, you know, on all of the sports. And it's the exact same thing in the working arena. You being there, giving them your energy, which is, and they try to call it time because they want to keep you away from the truth, is not really time, because there is no such thing as time in eternity. We are eternal beings, so there is no such thing as time. Time is created to manipulate the moment. So in manipulating the moment, you give up your energy. That's what they're harnessing. That's what they're harvesting. That's what they're using. That's what they need, because your energy is providing for their way of life. And it's by your means. So that's what's really being stolen. And that's what we really need to look at, because when you look at it that way, you can see that the plantations of the past have not left our present in our future. They just call it something else. They evolved it into something more effective and efficient. Why? Because people start to notice and turned away from the past. So they had to keep them on the plantation somehow. So what did they do? They just renamed it. It was just a redistricting and a redistribution of a different form. Never left. So that's a great article. You should definitely check that out. And we'll talk about that a little bit later, like I said, in a week or so. Then my man, That Dude Rhino, sent a pretty good, real good article about the U.S. military taking over the Federal Reserve Board. That is something that we definitely have to see play out. I will say this, the Commandant of the Marine Corps now is taking over the Joint Chief of Staff, and, you know, I'm not one to really profess that, you know, any form of the military is better than any other form of the military. But I will say that Smedley Butler did something that very few, and he was a Marine General, most decorated Marine General ever, did something. So if Dunford is in the process of doing something like that, you know, well, good for him. And it needs to be done. Either way, doesn't matter what the people within the power structure do. It only matters what you and I, the everyday person, does. That's where our true power is. We should not look to anyone else to do anything when we can create and develop and insist and make our own free will be the living agenda of the day. That's what, you know, I think is really, really important. So, but it was a great, great article. Check that one out. Then also, McDonald's franchisee said that the brand is in deep depression and facing its final days. Yes, that for the first time ever, McDonald's Corporation has closed more franchises than they opened. So this is overall an indication of the economy as it goes, as it's going. So then there was another article, very good one, came from Bloomberg, and it basically, how I was reading between the lines, is headline, five things to watch in China's GDP report, gross domestic product report that came out, where their economy is much bigger than the thought. I'm going to go ahead and say, you can say that you heard it here first, China's economy is bigger than, it has surpassed it, the U.S. economy, as the number one economy in the world. And, you know, the only thing is that mainstream media here in the States haven't admitted it yet. But all of the indications are telling you that that is the case. And you can tell from, especially within, since this summer, knowing that this summer was going to be a very, very pivotal and key summer, some very huge events have taken place last month in September and this summer, and it's basically meant the end of the dollar in so many terms and in ways. So check that one out. Also, there was an article, scientists at the Large Hadron Collider, which is CERN, has that in Geneva, hopefully made contact with parallel universe in days. Check out what we talked about CERN. We're definitely going to talk about it again. These people are the same ritual, demonic ritual people and sciences of the past, and they basically tell you that in so many words, and they're actually trying to do multiple things, and one of the things is they're trying to breach parallel universes, and it's just man's attempt, a demonic attempt at trying to be godlike. So check that out. Then got two more that I really want to talk about. There's also, and Holman Square revealed how Chicago police disappeared 7,000 people. This is a very important read. Check this one out. I know Brother Braggs and I were going to come up with a story and lay this thing out for you, what we think is going on, and this has a lot to do with it. There is, I will just say this, people are being snatched all over the world for very particular reasons. Organ, harvesting is one, but there's many, and we definitely need to talk about this and make you aware of it. Then also, Rahm Emanuel pulled the fast one and is going to raise Chicago's property tax by 73%. Check that out. This was released today. And then this was a big one. Big banks to American corporations, we don't want your cash. Right now, the banks do not want to. This is very, very important. You know, we talk about this a lot here on Tando, is that the banks don't want the corporations to stash cash within their institutions, because the banks don't want the cash. A lot of you would say that you want it. Well, guess what? You are going to get it, but you're not going to get it in the way that you think. You're going to get it without purchasing power. No one wants to hold the dollar any longer because they know where it's going. The people that don't know where it's going will be more than happy to take it. So this is what we're starting to see. Corporations are cash heavy, and they want to get rid of that and get into some real assets. This is why you're seeing such a market turmoil, but it's being hidden. The market turmoil is a distraction for really what's going on. And what's going on right now, there are major institutions, sovereign wealth funds, and corporations that are positioning themselves within assets that they know the new economy is going to be based in. And they're seizing those economies as we speak, while keeping you, the general public, unaware as to what's going on, because they want you to be the buyer of the debt of last resort, that being the dollar, the cash. They're going to give you all the cash. They're going to drown you in cash. But that cash is not going to have any power to purchase anything. And this is, you know, what's going to happen. You know, so many things are happening and unfolding. You know, this week is going to be a pivotal week for the U.S. within the South Sea of China. And if they breach those China's disputed islands, China has already said that they will respond militarily. And if that happens, you know, there's a naval armada that's going down to there to actually do just that, to challenge China in the South Sea of China. And if that breaks out into any kind of military confrontation, the whole paradigm of the economy will change very quickly. And it will start to unfold. And if you're not aware of that, you may miss out on some of the last opportunities to protect yourself. And that's what we want to avoid. So a lot is going on in the economy. But today's show, what I really wanted to do was to start getting us prepared and wanted to look at the table of preparedness. Last week we looked at leg one being food, leg one being water, leg two being food, but we did food first. Today we're looking at leg three, a very, very important leg on the table of preparedness, and that being shelter. Then after the leg of shelter comes the leg of protection, then the countertop, the tabletop of energy, and gives you your full table of preparedness. So in today's show, we're going to talk about that. And if you'd like to get in on the conversation, definitely give us a call. And the area code is going to be 641-715-3660. And the participant code is 54-9032 pound. And then just hit star 61 to let me know that you have a question or comment that you would like to make. Hey, we got a caller that's there. I want to jump to this caller right away. Let's go to him. Welcome, caller, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. What's your name, where you're calling from, and what's your question or comment?
Hey, Brother Davis, Team Davis, man. We just hitting you up, letting you know we're listening.
Hey, Brother Davis, how you doing? Give my regards to Sister Davis. What's going on? Always good to hear you guys' voice. How are you guys doing?
Well, we're doing fine, man. You know how it is. We're making things work under the circumstance. But I'm going to tell you, I wanted to comment on the fact that all these issues that we are talking to about literally they're coming back to us now through other people's interests on other levels, because now many are beginning to wake up and many are still asleep, don't get me wrong, but those who are beginning to wake up, we can direct to this outlet for information and understanding in reference to what they should do in their present circumstance. Because a lot of people hear this and all of a sudden they want to know how far behind they are, and I always say, start where you are and move forward. I've been doing some research and I've come across some other things that I'd like to talk to you about at end of the show, maybe the last 15 minutes, because the dialogue you got going right now is superb. So if you don't mind, I'll sit back in the cube and just listen to them and wait till I get the opportunity.
Oh, yeah, definitely, Brother David. So we'll bring you in the last, 30 minutes or so, or any time. Just jump in at any time, Brother Davis, because this is the thing of, one of the things that we've been doing this for a little while, and I really appreciate you and Sister Davis' overall commitment, and everyone from RDP's commitment to continue to prepare and everything else. So, this is, where we are. We didn't create it, but we don't have to accept it. And, we've talked before, and we're really looking forward to getting to the other side, because that's where the opportunities for everyone to wake up, either by force or by choice. Either way, people will wake up in some form, in some fashion, and my hope is that they will be willing to do something productive and that they will look back on these days as the days of the mistakes that they shall not repeat in the future, nor will they allow their children and their legacy to be stamped as that being the hallmark of society and civilization, because it's not that at all. So without a doubt, Brother Davis, we definitely have to continue to do what we can, do as much as we can, you know, and just the mere waking up somewhat, people, you know, I don't know everything, you know, and people need to find their own things and just, you know, invoke their own spirituality in this whole thing, and they will do fine. And I love what you said that, you know, some people say, is it too late? It's never too late, because the most powerful force within this universe is right there in between your heart, your mind, your spirit, your soul, and your body. Your whole energy is one of the greatest inventions and creations that the great creator God Almighty has ever made, and your free will is yours to dictate the direction that you will go. So it's never too late for you. You have all of eternity, but it's just something that I think that we need to make haste so that we can realize who we are, so we'll stop surrendering our free will to those that don't rightfully deserve it, nor...
Apologies for that again. Having trouble with the communication system. What we may do is just access it a different way. Let's get back in here. If this happens again, we will try another.
This service is provided in high definition by Free Conference Call HD. Access code accepted. This conference is being recorded. Q&A session started.
I should be back, Brother Dave. You hear me?
Oh, yeah. Okay, got you. Yeah,
we're having issues.
So whenever you're ready,
issues.
Scotty, we'll jump in.
Okay, all right. I'll
okay,
go ahead and play.
No problem. So while Scotty is getting it all queued up, I'm going to just say this. On the table of preparedness, shelter is very, very important. What I want you to really think about is this. If you've never seen a show called Naked and Afraid, and you know, I always talk about this, take a look at Naked and Afraid. And one of the things that you'll learn about Naked and Afraid is that you will see that you're not like any other living species on this planet. You almost have to, outside of ideal climate, environment, you cannot live on this planet without artificial means or without aided means. And what do I mean by that? You can't live without fire. You don't have the body makeup in the overall capability that other animals on this planet have to deal with the inclement weather that they deal with regularly. So that enables them to be wild. That enables them to be self-sufficient. That enables them to be free and independent. Because, let me tell you, freedom is much different than having rights. They're worlds apart. Just because you have rights, that is something that's dictated by a man's pen, or mankind's pen, or a decree by a government. The great creator God Almighty has never given any living being rights. Every living being has absolute and primary freedom. The great creator God Almighty gives freedom. So with that being said, we are not like any other living entity on this planet where we can roam with just our own body development and body makeup and survive very well in the environment unless it's ideal for us. And that being that idealness has to be, it can't be cold, can't be too cold, it can't be too wet, and it can't be too hot. And it's really, really important that we understand that. So listen, we're getting ready to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we'll talk about the table of preparedness. We're talking about the table of preparedness. We're talking about the leg of shelter, why it's so important, and what is it that we need to know how to use it and why we need to use it. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back right after this quick commercial break.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
Hi, my name's Lee Culver, and we're going to show you today how to build an expedient shelter called a debris hut. Now, a debris hut takes a little bit of time to build, but if you have a survival situation, as you probably know, shelter is your number one priority. After that is water and then food, in that order. So right now we're thinking in terms of shelter, and a debris hut takes a little bit of time to build, so you want to get started on this before the sun sets. So let's go ahead and get started. Okay, you can see what I've done here. I found a long stick here, which is going to be the spine of my shelter. I found a couple of smaller sticks that had a little bit of a Y to it and interlocked them so I can take the larger spine and kind of just fit it right into the groove here. So you can see this is pretty solid right here. So the next step to my shelter is I'm going to find sticks about a little bit longer than the shelter is tall, and lay them along the sides, rather like ribs on the spine. And that's going to create a little bit of strength here. You want your shelter to be just a tad larger than you are. And you want it kind of snug, because that way it'll keep the warmth in. Now, a debris hut will actually keep you fairly cool during the summer. And it'll keep you fairly warm during the winter. So it's a multi-seasonal shelter. And once it's completed, it'll keep you nice and warm and dry virtually in all conditions. So now we're going to go to the next step here, and we're going to get the ribs that we're going to place along the side here. Then we'll show you what that looks like. Okay, now you can see that we have our debris hut being started here. We've, as we showed before, we had two interlocking sticks with kind of Y ends to where we could put like the main spine across the top here to make like a ridge pole. And as you can see, we're putting sticks along the side here, rather like ribs on the spinal column. And this is going to provide the support for the structure. So our plan here is to put lots of sticks on the side to give it some strength. And then in a little bit, we're going to pile tons of debris. And then a debris hut, you want at least to be about 3 foot of leaves on it. And we're going to stop periodically and just kind of show you where the progress is at. Okay, our debris hut's coming along quite well now. As you can see, as you pan down to the debris hut, we have a lot more structure on the sides, which is going to give it a lot more strength. And the more sticks that we put on the sides, it's going to keep all the leaves and the debris that we put on top of it from falling in. So it's coming along quite nicely. And now the next step is we're going to put some leaves on top, and you're going to see what it looks like in a moment. Okay, as you can see, we have a almost completed debris hut here. We've created our spine, we put the ribs along the side, creating some support. We've piled a lot of leaves on here. And if I were gonna spend the night in here in a survival situation, I'd probably add at least another foot or two of leaves to make it more insulated and make it more waterproof. I've been in debris huts before where it poured down rain and I stayed completely dry because I had a minimum of at least 3 foot of leaves on the structure. And I'm gonna let JT kind of pan around the area here and let you see what it looks like. And in a moment, we're going to make a door for our debris hut, and we'll show you how to do that. Okay, we've completed our debris hut. Now we're ready to make a door. Fortunately, we're in a marsh area, and in this area we have lots of river cane growing around here. And I'm going to show you how to make a real quick door with this, just to kind of keep the wind out or just make you feel more comfortable during the night having a closure there. So we're going to go ahead and do that right now. So what I'm going to do, I have to cut my river cane to be about the right length. So let's see here. There's several ways to make doors, but river cane is nice and lengthy and pliable, and it has a million uses in survival. And this is just going to be one survival use. I'm keeping the small pieces a little bit separate from my larger pieces because I'm going to use them as well. Okay, let's see if we can do this so we can see a little better. I'm going to lay out some pieces here. Spread them out just a little bit, and we'll kind of weave them around a little bit. And what we're basically doing is just kind of doing an alternating weave here. And each piece sort of holds the other piece in place. And this is where we're going to use some of our smaller pieces now. And I can make this as thick as I want. So you can see we have a very rudimentary door here. And what I would actually do is I would actually make two
important
of these.
Important security message.
Depending on what kind of weather conditions
please call
I
the
have.
Number provided as soon as possible.
And then I would pile leaves on top of this and then lay the other one on top, get a vine, wrap it around, and pull it up against the door. But I think for the purposes of our illustration, I think we'll stop right here. Now I'm going to make it more toward door size. And we'll see a little bit more what it looks like. We have something of a door here. And again, in a survival situation, I would make this a little bit thicker. So what I'm going to do is go ahead and climb into my new home and take my vest off here and get all comfy. Now, as you can see, I've made this debris hut to be just about the right length. I made it a tad bit roomy for someone my size. So now I'm going to go ahead and hunker down. Now, in a colder environment, I would put a lot more leaves on the floor in here to make it more comfy. And basically, I'm ready to go here. And go ahead and get all nice and comfy for the night.
Okay, listeners, again, we apologize. We had another issue with being connected to the radio program, so we're going to do that, reconnect a different way. Do apologize. This is Scotty, station manager for Black Talk Radio Network. Give me just a moment, and we will reconnect. I bet you Dave is wondering what happened to Scotty. So let's get in here.
This service is provided in high definition by free conference call HD.com.
This conference is being recorded. Q&A session started.
Make sure that you're looking to a structure that you're going to fall back to.
Brother Day.
Or another structure, well-built structure, to protect you and your family.
Brother Day, can you hear me?
Because a lot of people think that they can just run out into the wilderness and the woods and wherever and live off the land.
If you unmuted.
Off the land, believe me, the land will live off of you so many ways.
Brother Day, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead, Scotty.
Yeah, I got disconnected.
Okay, no problem.
Yeah, on our end, we just got through listening to the video. The video went off building a debris hut. And
okay.
I'm just now getting reconnected, so that's where we're joining you at.
Okay, cool. So it was already played?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So we'll just keep going from there.
Yes.
Okay, cool. So, yeah, I'm going to post that video inside of Tando Radio so you can, everyone, I try to post all of the videos that we have. Now, in that video, in case you were bugging out of, you know, you had to go into a wilderness or the woods. Now, there are structures that you need to learn how to build now. And believe me, you need to learn how to build them while everything is fine. You always want to prepare for a rainy day on a sunny day. Prepare for the worst when everything is the best. Okay? So this was a debris shelter. This is something that you can build and learn how to build. It's great. But believe it's not something that you want to have as your permanent form of shelter, if at all possible, because the limitations of being in that type of environment and those environments are very, very severe and great. One, most of us won't build them strong enough, won't build them. We don't have the expertise to adjust to them, to fix them. And then not only that, as the weather gets worse, it really doesn't matter what time of year it is, you know, as the weather gets worse, it becomes extremely difficult. You know, even in the summertime, you know, we're used to going outside. I hate to say it, but we are indoor structured climate people now. We're used to going outside in the middle of the summer, enduring the heat and humidity just to get back into air conditioning. So we haven't, as Sister Davis talked about this, we haven't allowed our bodies to be the self-regulator of our temperature. But over a prolonged period, you would. But initially, under the most stress, and, you know, if there was something that happened where you needed to find shelter, that would be very difficult. That would just be added stress that you would be under. So, one of the things that I definitely suggest is that if you live in the city, find a structure, a house, a building that you can fall back to. If it's one of your own, if it's your own, you can have it. That's great, because then you can put some of your provisions there or whatever. And the key is you have to leave before everyone else does. While everyone else is asking what's going on, you ask while you're running away. And you're not asking looking back, but you're asking as far as how quick can I get to my bug out location. And all bug out locations, I believe, first and foremost, should be hard structured places. Now, how do you go about that? This is what I would suggest. If you're able, position yourself through buying, acquiring, building, off of some land that you already have, or buying some land and putting a structure there that you can fall back to, you and your family. Okay? Okay, also, but if you don't have that capability, what I would suggest is this. And this is for people as things start to really deteriorate, for people that are really serious, because only serious people will do this. You would, if I was you, I would look at areas that you would, that are ideal for you to fall back to, getting out of the major cities, okay? But not too far, and not too close. Finding abandoned homes, abandoned structures that you already know are there. Just in case you had to fall back to there, in these type of scenario, everything goes out of the window. You're in the yo-yo effect, meaning you're on your own. You're totally on your own. And the quicker you get to these places, the better. Because property is going to be, ownership of property is almost going to be deemed by possession. And I'm saying that in the worst case scenario, with the overall advent of an economic collapse that has moved us into a world war. Because that's usually what they do. And that's the overall path that this one in the United States is going into. So I would say look for structures, abandoned structures, that you could occupy. That would be the first. Then look for abandoned structures that you could build on. Let's say if you know it has half one wall or whatever. Try to find something with as much structure as you possibly could have, and then build on to that. That would be secondary. Then the third advent would be, in the appropriate situation, you may want to look at some of the under tunnels within areas. You got to be careful of that, but you could do it in all, you know, in the worst case scenario. And you need to know that and start researching that now, because shelter is just that important. It's just that important because our bodies are not made, even for some of the best, survivalists, you know, been through military, has been dropped off in theater of operations for 30 days and everything else. They have limitations to those capabilities. You have to build yourself a structure. You have to get yourself out of the elements as quickly and as securely as possible. Because without you doing that, it doesn't matter how much food you have. You won't have it for long. Because you have to be able to stage and store so that you can get more. What good is it for you to have a backpack, a sleeping bag, and a tent? That is only, to me, those are temporary structures while you're moving to a more permanent one. Because the thing about a tent and a sleeping bag is that if you can't keep it dry and if you can't keep it out of the elements, it's great for the weekend. It's not good for any prolonged situation. Yes, it could be done, but why would you want to do it? Because it only increases your overall exposure to getting sick, injured, in trouble, or actually in confrontation with other people. It really, really does. And those are the things that you want to hide. Now, some of the things that the tent and the sleeping bag does provide you, sometimes it gives you more concealment. Doesn't give you more cover, it gives you concealment. You can conceal yourself so people won't see you. Much easier than you can with a hardened structure. But if you pick your structure out correctly, you could blend right in with everything else, with all the other structures that are there. So there are ways to mitigate the overall problem. Then there would be next, the last would be the tent, sleeping bag, and then you had to make your own shelter. And since that is the hardest thing to do, but you still need to know, there are a lot of different structures that you can make. There are, you know, A-frames, there are, you know, the debris, there are all different kinds of structures that you can actually build, but it takes some expertise to build it, and it depends on the area in which you live in. You know, when while I was in the military in Alaska, you know, we actually, you know, when we were out in the field and for an extended period of time, we had to actually dig our tents within the snow and then have the snow cover it and insulate it. And it was extremely, extremely warm. Extremely warm, because one of the things, you know, we had to do is we had to get out of the wind, because the wind, we used to gust at 105, 110 miles per hour. It was there going hurricane gale wind in 95 miles per hour. And this was continuous without even a hurricane being in. That was just the regular. So any tent structure would not be able to withstand that overall inclement weather. So we dug under the snow, put up our tent, and then, you know, put it over and seized it out, and it works as, you know, snow works as a great insulator of heat. The key is that you have to create a barrier between you and the snow, so it doesn't, you know, so the snow doesn't, convection doesn't steal your body heat. That's what you have to do in all forms. Even when you're camping outside, you need something, a bed between you and the ground, else the ground is going to just take all of your body heat. And so now it's this is something that, you know, a tent and a sleeping bag, if you're not familiar with it, you haven't done it before, make sure you get out there and try it for a weekend and see how difficult it really is, and some of the things that you're going to have to contend with, because everybody's different. You're going to have to establish, you know, your food, your bathroom, your overall living environment, how you're going to set up your structure, how you're going to keep warm, where you're going to set it up. You know, there's different things. If you have a, you know, caves and things of that nature, that's something you definitely want to look at. And if you're blessed with some of those areas within your area and you found them yourself, I would say make sure that all of your caves, if you find them, they're not mines that man has dug into the ground. Because mines are very, very dangerous. Extremely dangerous and very prone to, you know, to collapse. And they're all cool when no one is touching it. But then when people start to go in, they start bumping into stuff. And you know, if you got kids, they start running around and hit one thing. And then one little thing collapses, then everything comes down. Now you're buried. So mines is something that you want to avoid. Caves, natural caves, are ideal. But, of course, with natural caves come predators and everything else. You got to make sure it's clear of predators in everything. So these are just some of the things that you definitely want to think about. You always want a cave over a mine. Okay? I wouldn't do a mine for any reason. Well, no, that's not true, but that would be a very low priority to do mines, because they're extremely dangerous. You don't know how old the mine is. It could be on the last leg, and just someone just bumping just one little thing, and then everything just comes falling in. And last thing you want to do is be buried alive. You know, it's just, mines have claimed so many people, so you don't want to choose mines. Now, you may have rock structures. You need to know how to position yourself. If you have rock structures, that's not giving you a full shelter, but it's giving you one or two walls. Well, then you want to position your camping next to that, to those walls, so that your fire, if you're going to be building a fire, which everyone should, is going to be bouncing off of those walls, and you can use those rocks to maintain your overall body heat. You can actually put the rocks close to the fire themselves and then inject them into your coat or what you have it to keep you warm. Not the rocks that you actually have been in the fire, but you can place them close and then, you know, heat up those rocks, and they will help keep you warm and what you want, the heat to bounce off of the rocks, you heat up those rocks, and it will hold that heat, and maintain that fire. So shelter is something that is extremely, extremely important, because once it starts to rain, and lo and behold, biblically it says, pray not that your temptation comes in the winter. And there's a reason for that. And that it, there is a definite reason for that. Because the elements are unforgiving, has no pity, and you get wet, and then now hypothermia is setting in. And that is not a good look. Believe me, I've had extensive dealings with hypothermia in Alaska myself. Not something cool, but you know, and there's ways to avoid getting that. And the main thing is that you have to get yourself in a climate-controlled, dry place. When you start looking at shelter outside, you know, it's great when it rains, but it becomes your worst enemy. The elements start to turn against you. And then, I don't know, you know, at night, most of us says it's real nice and cool outside. That's because we have our shelters to go into. But if you had to stay out in that element for an extended period of time, no, not one or two nights, but now when you start to get into a couple of nights and then the temperature starts to drop and everything else, it really wears on your tolerance. And this is another thing that's going to happen. You are going to start to consume a lot of food. Without shelter, your food intake is going to have to increase drastically in order to have the calories to keep you warm. This is why shelter is so, so important. And it can't be something that you can, you know, squawk at and just think that a tent and everything else is going to be fine. That's not sufficient. You are not a bear. You are not a deer. You are not a dog. You are a human being, and you have to have actual clothing in order to regulate and maintain your body core temperature. They don't, and that's the big disadvantage. You know, you don't see a freezing deer. You don't see, you know, you just don't see that. You don't see an elk that's freezing. They're dealing with the harsh temperatures much, much better. Yes, they do get cold and they adjust to it. But see, they adjust to it naturally. We have to adjust to it artificially, meaning there isn't much fluctuation in the overall environment that we can withstand without protective clothing. So, hey, we're getting ready to go to a commercial break. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. Give us a call, 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 549032#. And then just hit *61 to jump in on the conversation. We'd love to hear from you. We're getting ready to go to a commercial break. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break. Yo, get funky. Yeah, just hit me. Just hit me. Just get on down and hit me. That Bonda's getting so fucking hot, hit me. Yeah, just hit me.
The Tando Radio Show is live on Black Talk Radio Network, Monday through Fridays at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern. Check Black Talk Radio Network on Facebook for updates. Also, don't forget to follow Tando Radio Show on Facebook as well. Have a question or comment for the host? Give us a call at 641-715-3660. That's 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549032#. That's 549032#. To signal the host, hit *61. Now back to Tando Radio Show on the Black Talk Radio Network.
All right, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, David Wren, a.k.a. Dave from L.A. And the number we're talking about, shelter. How important is shelter? If you have any comments or some best practices that you've used, in the past, then definitely would love to hear from you. Give us a call, 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 549032. So I would love to hear from you with some of the things that you have done or are doing, and what is your overall best practices that you've used when it comes to shelter. So shelter is extremely, extremely, extremely important. It's one of the ones that's overlooked, and a lot of people think that they could just run out to the mountains and camp out and everything would be cool. You could do that for a weekend. You can't do that as a survival technique over a long period of time. You're going to have to actually get some hardened real shelter for so many reasons. Your overall food consumption is one. Now, so we're going to get back to this, some different forms of shelter. You can look up YouTube, look up debris shelters, and there's a bunch of other different shelters. There's one guy that builds primitive huts really, really well, and then puts a nice furnace and heat off from mud and everything else. That he does a really, really good job. That's a hardened structure that will keep you dry, keep you out of the elements, and give you some real sustainable warmth that you can have. And, you know, it will hold your fire, because you want to protect your fire if you're out there. Now, one of the things also with a fire is that whenever you burn a fire, you're giving up your position. You're giving up where you are. You know, so if there's ways in which you can, if possible, where you can dig within the ground and then insulate it with leaves and everything else and then have your body heat, that would be great. But then you're going to give up some things with that too. You're going to give up visibility. Your visibility is going to be virtually none. You're not going to be able to see different things from inside of it. So there's a lot of different trade-offs. But if you needed to build those temporarily while you move to a more hardened structure, which I think is the first thing that you should be looking for as for shelter, is a hardened structure, you know, something that you're used to living in, and you can adjust from there. Now, also, some of the things that structures that you may want to as shelter, you know, you always can use your car or vehicles as structures that you want to. You always want to get out of the elements no matter what. And this is real, real important, because we're getting ready to come up on winter, but you should actually prep your vehicle for the season that you're in. Right now, every person should be prepping their vehicle for a winter preparation. You know, things that you should be putting inside of your vehicle in case your vehicle was the only structure that you had because of whatever reason. Anything natural, man-made, whatever. And this takes some thought process, because what you don't want to do is one day be caught and not be prepared, and then you're stuck in your vehicle for an extended period of time. People have actually died in their vehicles waiting for help to come. And people have actually died when they left their vehicles because of that. So if you live in some of the harsher states and areas that have inclement weather and very strong and drawn out long and harsh winters, you need to be prepping your vehicle for the winter. And so a car or a vehicle, once the engine and the heater is off, becomes an ice box. It becomes a refrigerator, and you become the meat. You become the produce that it will start to keep cool and keep, you know, cold. So you need to prepare for that. You need your blankets. You need your some of the best things that you could do is get newspaper. Newspaper is one of the best insulants there is. And why is it? Is because what newspaper does is this, and this is all part of shelter. Your jacket, your pants and your jacket can be a shelter. What the great thing about newspaper is this, is that because it works just like insulation, because it is insulation, What it does is it traps air close to your body, and your body heat warms that up, and it doesn't allow that air to escape. So it insulates you. So you want to fill your jacket up with newspaper, and you know that will make whatever kind of jacket that you have, whatever the tolerance that it has for cold inclement weather outside of rain or even with rain, it makes it that much stronger. Now the thing to maintaining your overall core body temperature is remaining dry. And your, like I said, your jacket and your pants could be a shelter. You want to get some materials that are waterproof. Some of the best waterproofing materials is Gore-Tex. Very expensive. Very, very expensive. And it's expensive because it works. That is the expensive way to deal with it. But you can get Gore-Tex jackets for relatively cheap also. You can get a Gore-Tex military parka or field jacket or cold weather environment jacket. You can get those relatively cheap. And the thing about that is that you need to buy those in the heat of winter. I mean, in the heat of summer. You need to buy those in the middle of July, in early July, and in late June, because that's when their prices are the best. Right now, you should be buying things for the summer. And don't wait to buy winter clothes in the winter. You buy it in the opposite month when it's much cheaper. It's just a better price point. But, you know, some of the clothing that's some great shelter is Gore-Tex. You know, you can find it. You just look for a Gore-Tex Parker, G-O-R-E Parker. And then if you can get a hat, a Gore-Tex hat, Gore-Tex gloves, Gore-Tex boots, and Gore-Tex pants, that will keep you extremely dry and warm. And these are the things that you need to have beforehand. Because shelter is nothing more than protecting your body, but the extensive shelter not only protects you, but it protects everything that you have, and that's what you want to do. So now, as far as your vehicle, what's some of the things that you want as for your vehicle? You want to definitely have blankets, newspaper, and sleeping bags for your vehicle. In order to keep you warm, you can also have. There are different ways. You got to be very extremely careful. You may want to get a AC/DC converter, and you can have heaters that you can use. And you want to protect your battery. And one of the ways that you know, let's say there was a huge storm in Atlanta. A couple of winters ago. The fatal mistake that people did was that they went and got on the freeway and tried to get home when everything was shut down. You have to think in advance of events happening. You have to anticipate. Leave early, but then realize before you get on a freeway to look to see what the conditions of it is. And then not only that, try to have some idea of what it is ahead of you. So what you don't want to do is get yourself trapped on the freeway. Because once the congestion and the gridlock starts, you won't be able to move. You're locked in. Totally, totally locked in. Now you have no choices. Yeah, are very limited. And so these are some of the things that you want to look at with your vehicle as shelter. Another thing you want to do with your vehicle is you want to have, of course, provisions. You want to have as many provisions as you possibly can have for the winter. You want to have, you know, at least 3 or 4 days food for how many people are traveling. In warm, you know, clothes and a change of clothes and things of that nature there. You also want to have, ladies, you always want to have some appropriate footwear. And when you're going to work, you're getting stuck at work, you don't want to have your work heels on in a situation that requires you to be prepared to deal with some circumstances. You want to be able to switch your shoes into something more comfortable and more supportive. Very, very important. Very, very important. Also, what you want to have, of course, is first aid, water, some way of heating, heating blanket. You want to have, you know, like I said, multiple sleeping bags. And if at all possible, if you can safely do it, at least have a gas jug that you can go get, walk to a gas station to get gas to put into your vehicle, if that is an option. You know, driving around with a plastic full gas container is not something that you should do. Not something that you should do. But if you have a transfer tank, you might be good. Totally something totally different. It's built for that. Totally built for that. But that's some of the things that you should have in your overall vehicle. Have a headlamp. And headlamps are, you know, old school people would say have batteries and things of that nature. I mean, a flashlight. A headlamp is something that you put on your head, and it can offer you lighting without you having to carry. You always want to keep your hands free. Always keep your hands free. You never know what you have to deal with. You want to be hands free. So you want to keep candles, but also be mindful of ventilation. And I would definitely keep a clay pot that you plant plants in, you know, like the smaller ones that you could plant house plants in, but a clay one with a hole at the bottom. And why would I do that? Is because of this. You can actually make a heater with a candle in that clay pot, and that will heat up your vehicle or wherever you're outside. That is a tremendous way to keep good heat. But again, once again, you want to have ventilation with that, and you'll be fine. And you got to be careful of tipping it over in fire. So that is something that is, and this is why I prefer using the clay pot method. And what do you do with that? Is you have the base of the pot where the water would go if it was running off, if you were planting a plant. You would put that on the bottom, put the actual candle on top of that so it can't tip over. And then what you do is you turn the clay pot upside down. So where the hole, it looks like a volcano. And then you light the candle, put the clay top on top of that, and that is going to, that candle is going to heat that pot up, and is going to radiate heat from there. And you would be surprised how warm that will keep you in a car, or if you had to leave the car. So this is some of the things that you want to look at doing. So, hey, if you have any questions, definitely give us a call at 641-715-3660. And the participant code is 549032#. Then hit *61. If you have a question or comment that you would like to make, we'd love to hear from you. And tell us what some of your practices that you use for shelter and preparedness. Very key, because when you have it, you appreciate that you have it, especially when the weather turns bad. And if you don't have it, you know, it was fun when we were kids and played in it, because then we can actually leave it. But in a preparedness situation that an event has happened, not anything you want to contend with, especially if you have children. This is why it's so important, if for those of you that have children, you have to plan in advance for shelter, and that shelter has to be able to have the capacity to deal with their needs. So this is something that has to be planned out, and it's not something that you want to actually just go out and get a tent and think that you covered your overall shelter needs. You haven't. You've just actually exposed yourself to great danger and harm. Since you have a tent, you think that you'll be, and most likely you'll use it. That is a last resort piece of equipment. Now,
hey, Brother Dave.
Oh, Brother Davis. Go ahead, Brother Davis.
I just wanted to add real quick here. First of all, you got to be honest with yourself. Are you a material person, or can you take what you got and go?
Right.
If you're a material person, you need to focus on the shelter you live in and the community that's around you. Build up alliances and connect neighborhood so that every neighbor is connected and every neighbor comes with a contribution. If you are one who can be mobile, that takes a totally different type of nature, because that means that you are ready to detach from the materialisms of your life. Now, America makes us materialistic.
Right.
If you don't think so, think about what you're going to miss. If you're going to miss stuff like TV or a hot meal or just jumping in the car or running around, you're materialistic, because that may come down to foot. Your entertainment may be the idea of how you plan for tomorrow, because tomorrow will not be an ordinary day. Tomorrow you prepare for the night. And that's what living in a mobile situation is. So Dave gave you some good ideas, but in reality, you must really be honest with yourself, because when it comes out to getting out there in the elements, wherever you are short at, you will be reminded of.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you something. It's not, if you haven't camped out in the wintertime, don't even think about it. I'm going to tell you, you're not prepared. You've heard me say this summer that I'll take my grandchildren out and I tested my gear with them.
Right.
But they're by no means can they do that in the wintertime. So I have to have the capacity to be honest with myself, because when you're in that field, you evaluate at night what you're going to do tomorrow so you can prepare for tomorrow night. When you're at home, you put up your perimeter, you communicate with those on the inside that are like-minded people, and you inventory what you got and what you must do. Entirely different concept. Now, at the end of the show, I want to open the door to something else that I've come across in my due diligence that has nothing to do, actually, with what we're talking about, but then again, it has everything to do with it. So I just want to put that out there so you prepare yourself. I meditate regularly because I know that meditation will allow my body to be as tangible as my thought process. Let me repeat that. Meditation will allow my body to be as tangible as my thought process, because sometimes it's going to get very cold, and if all your mind does is focus on the cold, you will freeze. But if you're in the cold, your mind is focusing on picking up pieces of driftwood, checking off wood that you may be drying that you found yesterday, redawning string. I'm talking about string that you can use for fishing or tying,
right,
because everything has multiple uses. I'm thinking about keeping my weapon sharp, my knife sharp. I'm keeping everything that you do when you're on the move has to be agile enough for you to pack it up and carry it. So it definitely takes a unique mindset in order to take on that. So you must be honest with yourself and then prepare accordingly. Okay, brother, thank you.
Man,
as always, Brother Davis, that is great advice. And You know, Brother Davis has had, you know, extensive training. I've had extensive training with dealing with the elements. And believe me, when I first was introduced to it without the training, there was no way in the world I would have been able to make it unprepared. Because these are intrinsical skills that you have to learn. And then, like Brother Davis said, this summer, you guys remember when he called, he and Sister Davis called after taking the grandchildren out into the field. They loved it. They had a great time. But did you hear what he said? He went out to test his gear. And that is so important, that everything that you have to test to make sure it works. There's an old saying, one is none, two is one. Because some things that you test aren't going to work. You need to know what they are so you can fix them, replace them, or you know, whatever it is that you need to do to mitigate that problem. So, yes, you know, camping from a comfortable standpoint as a leisure, as, you know, just leisurely doing it as, you know, just a recreational thing, oh, it's great. Great. It's much different when you're surviving. It's much different. You have to be thoughtful in everything you do. You can't waste energy. You have to, and I'm glad Brother David said he meditates, and he advised everyone here to meditate, because the conservation of energy and creating energy from your thoughts to regulate your body temperature, regulate your heart, regulate everything, your food intake, your water consumption, is very, very key. Is very, very key. So, as always, Brother Davis is giving us great direction in things. So, I would say, you know, it's very keen. If you have children, then your overall thought process of shelter is totally different than you by yourself. Basically, if you have a group of people and they have children, your ability to move within, from shelter to shelter, or move to shelter, or sustain shelter out in the elements, will be dictated by the slowest and not your fastest. What I mean by that is you have to move at a pace that the children are able to endure. And that comes from all of the decision making that you have, you know, if, you know, and this is something that you need to think about now and start to plan with them. And believe me, as Brother Davis and Sister Davis tell you, oh, they love doing that stuff because you make it a game for them. You make it fun for them. You make it fun for them, and then they'll be able to apply. Let me tell you something else about children. You give them a task where they're really learning something that's intrinsical, their overall attention span is sharp. They're totally focused. It's not like you see with them going to school. There's a different focus. Because it goes back to the primal and the primary thought process of surviving. And they already have that intrinsical instinct that just needs to be massaged and brought out by you. So, I would say parents, one of the things that you want to look at with shelter is that you have to look at how many children you have, how many will be in your care, and if you live in a major city, make amends for that and look, find places that would fit the shelter for the children. Now, if you live out in the rural areas, shelter is still a very, very important thing. Extremely important. You have to be able to, wherever you are, in the cities, in the suburbs, or in the rural areas, you have to be able to protect your shelter. You have to be able to protect your shelter. Sometimes you want your shelter to try to conceal it when you can. And you'll know that by the overall landscape and topography of where what it is your shelter is, because everyone is different. Sometimes there are things that you can do to hide a house. How many times have you, you know, gone somewhere, went out into the country and drive, and then you happen to look in a different direction and you didn't even notice that there was a house there that you passed there before. That's because it's already, you know, hidden in the tree line. Then there are some things that you can do to enhance that. Definitely, that's something that you want to do, even in the country. If you live in the rural areas, you want to maximize the concealment of your location, because you never know, the hills could be watching you, or the grounds could be watching you, meaning someone could be watching you. And so with that, you want to be able to protect your overall shelter. And that comes with, when it comes to shelter, you have to be able to protect that shelter, and that comes with, you have to be able to have a observation of your home as if someone was looking at it, so that you can tell and actually look to make sure that no one is watching your home. Because that's one of the bad things about, only, you know, one of the drawbacks to living in the country is that not only do your supplies not come as often, but you can mitigate that by hopefully growing some of the supplies that you need, or gathering or foresting for some of the supplies that you need. But also, you're going to have to, just because you're out in the woods, you're going to have to set up another shelter where you can watch your shelter. And this is, you know, Brother Davis and I and everyone in the pretty much preparedness field tells you that you can't do this alone. You want to establish alliances early with people that are going to actually bring something to the table with you. They have a vested interest in you, in your survivability, and as well as you. And this is something that you want to do, because what you know, last thing that you want to do is not have a position where you can watch if, and kind of at least give an effort to see if someone is watching where you live. Just because you live out in the country and you have a farm, you have acreage, and you have a farm, you have, you know, animals and all of those things, that doesn't mean that you stay in the house. That doesn't mean that you stay in the house. And guess what? That doesn't mean that you stay in the house every night. Because in the evening times is when you really want to get out and surveil and to set up things to be able to tell you if someone is there. And it's not hard. It's not hard. You basically want to set up a perimeter around where you live so that you can tell if someone is there. And it's, you know, that takes a little training and a little know-how, but once you learn how to do it, it's not very difficult at all. You know, because I have some people that I know that have homes in rural areas, and they just think that, oh, I got all my stuff in my house, I'll just, you know, they barricade themselves in their house. And I tell them all the time, you just hope that no one comes, because if they do come, they're going to burn you out. So it's, you know, not anything to scare you, but it's a reality of things. People, hungry people, do very dangerous things, and they're very, very deadly. There's nothing worse than a hungry person. They will do whatever. So this is what you really have to protect yourself from. And if you know these things, you can put these things into place and just increase your overall likelihood of overall surviving it. So it's something that we definitely need to think about. But we're going to go, we're getting ready to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to go to Brother Davis because, you know, he says he has some things that we need to talk about. And I can't wait to talk about those things, because, you know, Brother Davis always brings, and Sister Davis always brings, a great perspective, and we learn a lot from them, as we all learn from you all. And I just want to thank everyone that listens to and participates in Tando Radio Show. From the messages you send to the information you send is so vitally important, especially in these days. You know, right now, you know, I want to just focus on the table of preparedness just as a, you know, just to give us a foundation of things to think about, maybe that you haven't thought about before, and see how extensive things are and some of the things you need to be contending with to put yourself in a position of advantage. Because once something goes live, no longer can you prepare. It's now is the time for your equitable response. And that is so important. Hey, you're listening to Kando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We're getting ready to go to a commercial break, and we'll be right back in 2 minutes.
Have you thought about getting into podcasting but don't know where to start? Have something to say to the world but don't know how? The popularity of podcasts and internet radio streaming continues to grow, with millions of people on the planet gaining internet connectivity through a multitude of devices. In the current media age, people can browse internet radio stations or listen to podcasts right from the dashboard of their cars. There are few barriers to anyone who wants to produce internet-based media. To encourage media production for black people by black people, if you are an independent black media producer or want to become one, the nonprofit Black Talk Media Project is offering unlimited and unmetered podcast hosting services below industry pricing. Need more information about the industry and the technology? Find out how to create internet-based radio broadcasts and or podcasts at www.knowledgebase.blacktalkradionetwork.com. Again, that's www.knowledgebase.blacktalkradionetwork.com. You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For live programming schedules, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. It's your host, David Wren, a.k.a. Dave from L.A. If you have any questions or comments, definitely give us a call, 641-715-3660. And the participant code is 549032#, and just hit *61. Hey, just to let you guys know, my man Gerald is going to come on tomorrow, and he's going to talk about his surveillance business and some opportunities that he has for some of our, you know, if you would like to get into the surveillance business, you're interested in that. So my man Gerald will be on tomorrow. Very, very cool, interesting brother. You know, he's been on Blackonomics. He had him on there, so he's going to come on to Tando and talk about what he's doing and how, if you're interested, how you can get into the surveillance field and possibly even work with him. And Gerald is doing some very big, important things. So we're going to talk about that tomorrow, and that'll be on our show tomorrow. So, hey, we have Brother Davis in queue, and Brother Davis wanted to bring some information and talk about some things with you guys. And let me tell you, this is, you know, I know that this is something that I'm interested in, because Brother Davis and Sister Davis have been doing this for a while. They're preparedness experts, but they're also just great exemplars of how to look at life and to actually how to develop yourself even more as people in all forms and fashions. So I really, really do appreciate them as individuals and as a team. Oh my gosh, you can't beat Team Davis. So hey, Brother Davis, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, brother. I'm here.
Okay, cool.
I'd like to thank you, man, because at this particular time, I think we need to focus on, my wife and I were talking in reference to the needs of what these circumstances will avail. So those people who have to take medicine on a regular basis, you need to be doing your due diligence now to wean yourself or find a substitute. A holistic substitute would be great, because therefore you could be able to do the footwork required so that you can get it. But if you cannot, maybe make a connection with someone who can give you the insight and understanding on how to deal with that area of disease or addiction or whatever it is in a holistic way. Because you don't want to be put in a situation in which you're depending on something you can no longer get. Because when that happens, then the side effects kick in, and everybody that is attached to you spiritually or emotionally are going to go on this roller coaster with you. And that roller coaster may lead you to force them to make decisions that they would not have to make if this did not become a problem. Right. Now, the reason why I bring it up is because we have high blood pressure running rampant in our community. We have salt. We have arterial problems. I mean, coronary problems, bowel problems, digestive problems. And all of these things will not stop because of the circumstance. So if that is the case, then we must prepare to be able to deal with those things in a manner in which we can be consistent under diverse circumstances. And one of the reasons why I'm bringing this up is because if you are not, and you get into a situation in which you have this need, and this need overpowers you because you can't get your sources, you may be forced to have your children go someplace to try to get them for you. And the reason why I say that is because it doesn't have to be a small child. Your child can be 23, 24 years old. Right. But you're still putting them in a situation that may be endangering them because of a need that you were not prepared for in your circumstance. Years ago, I read a book about a man who was escaping in the Holocaust, and he had his 3-month-old son in his arms, and they were hiding in a closet. And the Germans came in to search the house. Well, the closet literally was a fixed wall inside the closet. So literally, they were in the closet, but if you opened the door, it looked like the closet was empty because they were behind the wall. Well, the Germans didn't leave the room. They stayed in the room and talked. And the man's son started to whine. You don't want to be faced with a decision like that. And that's why it's important that you understand that you have to cover your bases by getting the things you need in the event that you may need medical emergency, or that you may need something that you cannot supply yourself with due to the crisis that you would presently be going under. And the reason why I'm bringing this out now is because no circumstance can be totally analyzed and prepared for. There will be that unbelievable circumstance. And in that unbelievable circumstance, if you don't make a decision based on the wisdom of the group or the wisdom of your group, then you may victimize other people in the group. So keep that in mind, because there are a lot of holistic avenues out there for people to choose if they get started early. And I have seen some literally change their ailment and reversed it totally. I know people who are diabetics who've reversed it totally. I know people who had high blood pressure who reversed it totally because they were willing to make the sacrifices necessary for their bodies to be able to function without that disease being present in it. Now, I don't know if it's dormant or what, but I do know from personal experiences this can be done, and through my conversations that I've had with other people in the holistic field, yes, this can be done, but it's about the person's frame of mind being prepared to do what is necessary. And that's coming back to my original point. You must evaluate yourself all the time, because in this circumstance, it may come down to day to day. And I know that sounds strange, and many times we say, well, from time to time. Well, literally, that becomes a part of the principal way you live. And if that is the case, you don't want to jeopardize your group or yourself based on something that if you do take the due diligence to do now, you won't have to worry about it later. Okay, the second thing I want to point out was that we have to understand this. In this day and age of technological advancements, very little happens by chance. So I, looking at this from a different perspective, because this is a part of a greater plan. I mean, from the dollar falling, to corporate control of our politicians in order to manipulate us into another area of life. Absolutely. And in my due diligence, I've come across something that I really didn't consider until I read it in detail, and that is NATO's Agenda 21. Agenda 21 has been designed by the elitists, and this is just part of the package. Now, I don't want to go into a lot of it. I would like for those who hear me, seek it out, go online, find out what it is, because I'm going to tell you something. We literally are in a position to make change, but we cannot make change respecting differences. We can only make change when we come together in spite of our differences. The government's going to, during this election, you're going to hear some key words. Yep. I'm going to give you one or two of them. One of the key words you're going to hear is communityism. Now, that's something you may not have ever heard before. But what that translates to, what is best for the community. Now, you're only going to hear about it after this happens, because you have less of a community. And when you have less of a community, you have less people to be defiant to the concept of what is best for all. But in America, that's what makes us individualists, because we can aspire to do better. But in a community, understand how I said that? In a communityism circumstance, they're going to have you thinking in defense of yourself. So therefore, they want you to tell on your neighbor. These things will all come into play, and I'm bringing it out to you now so you can do your due diligence. Because I'm going to tell you something. We are going to be in a situation where a lot of people, they expect to become victimized by their circumstances, whether it's the elements of the winter, they're not being able to go out here and find a job, not having the income to meet the needs of their living standards, and the economy itself. Now, I haven't bought up Monsanto's. I haven't bought up the destruction of the food line. I haven't bought up the local government's conformity to this so-called redevelopment. And every city has a redevelopment. And that redevelopment is a part of the Agenda 21. And the reason why I'm bringing this out now is because I want you to understand, when you're at your weakest point, you're going to turn to whoever helps you. So if the government comes through with just a water truck and you need water, you're going to be somewhat malleable, meaning that you are willing to change a little bit to get some of that water. And they're depending on that. That takes you away from your individualism, and that puts you in to communityism. If you really are serious about making a change from the circumstance that we're in and getting through this, we're going to have to start respecting the idea. You may not have to go with that idea, but allow the idea to be placed on the table before the group, and don't judge the source by their culture, their color, their creed. Because I'm going to tell you something. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. And you will learn that. It's a philosophy to live by. And right now, whether you want to accept it or not, and many don't, the government has vastly become our enemy. And everything that they have done over the last five months have been all to reinforce their control over us.
Right.
You have different things in your community. Like I'm quite sure every community has what they call the community logistics program. And what they do in the community logistics program is not ask questions. See, you don't know. It sounds like they're working for the community, but literally what they're doing is keeping track on who is coming in and out of the community. They're keeping track on the new license plates and the regular license plates. They know your communities better than you do. The reason why they're doing this is because they're trying to get you to a point in which they literally
point and you go. We are stronger people than that. We are greater people than that. But if we do nothing, that is just how it will go. So you look, take your time, go online. You can go to City Hall when they got those redevelopment pamphlets or the guidelines to the new redevelopment of your city. That is all part of the Agenda 21. And believe me, you have already started indoctrinating your children at school. So this is a process that we're looking at it from the side, because they've already got a jump on us because they kept us in the dark. And the reason why they keep you in the dark is because literally you're weaker in the dark. That's why when all of this comes down, it will be a foreword to what they want to do next and what they want to do next. For those of you who don't think they're serious about this, Ted Turner just bought 4,000 or 5,000 acres in Montana. And what he's doing there is releasing carnivorous or carnivoric beasts. Now, the reason why he's doing it is because eventually they want to even take away your right to go fishing, to go hunting, to be in the public lands. And how do they do that? By putting you in areas of control where they can control the flow of in and out of the larger cities. Now, I'm not going to pursue this conversation anymore until we can get feedback from those people who are taking the time to look, because when you see it, you're going to realize there's things that you can do on your level in the community now. Because if we don't come together, we are all going to go the way they want us to go. Because if you notice now, they just passed another law on immunization.
Yep.
So they're legislating what they want to do. If we do not do something, they're going to legislate us into a state of solitude. And in the next legislation that they haven't told, I haven't even talked to you about, is this right to death legislation. They don't tell you what's in the fine line. They don't tell you what the fine print says. But you're going to find out over the next 3 to 4 or 5 years when people start getting into it, that they have what's called state right. The state has a right to have an opinion, and understand, have an opinion or last word on this law. So, if they're cutting back, they see the workforce as being from 20 to 40 years old. Understand what I'm saying to you. If they see the workforce as being 20 to 40 years old, and they're trying to eliminate the size of our carbon footprint, then they literally have a plan for those people who are start approaching ages older. Do your due diligence. It's called NATO Agenda 21. It's the agenda for the 21st century. And I'm going to tell you something. Make sure that when you read this, there's nobody around you that you love. Because literally, it's going to shock you.
Yeah.
And then you are going to go and look in your newspaper and see some of these entities in there. You're going to go downtown to City Hall and see their signs on their facilities. They let you know this is operating.
Yeah.
But we haven't. Don't surrender. Remember now, because you can't win in a state of surrender. But you can communicate with those people in your community. You know what they do? And tell them. And if you go in there, they'll show you, oh yes, we're renovating the city to be a better place, to have a smaller carbon footprint. That's another thing you're going to hear a lot of. Carbon footprint, communityism, and redevelopment. These things are all saying, take, steal, and destroy if I have to. And you know what else? They are starting to legislate drones. You know why they're legislating drones? Because so many people can buy them now. They don't want them to have drones. Because when that drone went into the White House lawn, literally they were looking at the White House from every angle. And they still haven't said who the owner of that drone was. So there's a fear factor that kicks in. But we have no reason to fear. because literally I'm not trying to do something to bring harm to you, and you're not trying to do something to bring harm to me. So the person who's teaching us to fear is the ones behind the media blitz. And
right.
If you hear them now, they're talking a lot about race wars and this and that. These are the key words for the weak minds to follow the program. And understand how I said that. These are the key words for the weak minds to follow the program. And the program
the
is this.
Line.
Absolutely. The program is this. For those people who are of white descendants, the program for you is fear. Fear, 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 fear. For people of color, the program for you is emotion. Get emotional about everything. If you see it, get emotional about it. If you cut out the emotion, which also would eliminate fear, we can come to the table of communication and we can attack this thing. And we can literally take this America in a different direction. Because I don't want to go back. I don't want to be victimized by them. But I do know this. I'm a veteran that fought for the right to call myself an American. Do I like the way America is now? No. But can we do some things to make it better? Absolutely. So we have to focus on the situation that's about to come, but we have to also focus on the situation the way we want it to be. So when you do your due diligence on this Agenda 21, and don't start tomorrow, you got the information that you need to start tonight. You become informed, and you can be an informer. But if you sit back and say, oh, I'll do it later, and somebody says to you tomorrow, you know, they're doing some redevelopment over here, and you find out the redevelopment is changing a four-lane access route into the city down to two lanes and putting bike routes on each side of the lane. Bike routes. Well, they're cutting down the capacity for vehicles to travel on that road. There's always something behind what they do. Okay, so check out Agenda 21. Those people who have sicknesses or anything like that, do your due diligence, find a holistic avenue, follow that avenue to get some positive results, and let's come together as often as we can before the lights go out. And then when the lights go out, let's tap into those communication devices that we all should have by now.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't, go out and get yourself. A matter of fact, I heard C-Crane just turned out a new AM/FM self-generating receiver. So that means that you can receive shortwave radio signals as well as weather band radio signals. So those things work to your advantage.
Yep,
and that way, we can be connected. Because I'm going to tell you something. If I can't connect with you, I can't help you. If you can't connect with me, you can't blame me.
Yep.
Listen, I love what we do, but we still got work ahead of us. Much okay, good. Brother Dave, I covered what I wanted to get, bro.
Oh, wait, Brother okay. Davis. There's a couple of things. Let me get to the important thing real quick, because great. I'm glad you took that, because it was so important and so needed. You know, one of the things that you were talking about with the Agenda 21, you know, recently when all of the so-called celebrity government officials were at the UN this last time in September, the Attorney General, Loretta Lynch, announced the launch of the Strong City Network.
Yes.
And that's exactly what Brother Davis is talking about. They're having redevelopment. You're starting to see the city projects they call urban redevelopment zones. And this
Absolutely.
Is what is happening as we speak. And Brother Davis is absolutely right. They're talking about collectivism is really what this is all about. They're basically, this is why you see them pushing groups so much, because they want you to think like corralled sheeple instead of the individual that you are. And so you're going to see this pushed a whole lot. You've seen it with the UN, and basically with Trans-Pacific Partnership is the daggone brainchild part of Agenda 21, and the also structural format in power in the chain of command for Agenda 21. And then there was another thing you said, Brother Davis, that was so true about the people that are dependent upon pharmaceutical drugs at this time. Those individuals have a real hurdle to cross, and it can be done. But also, and Brother Davis has already laid it out, also for everyone, you need to look at your neighbors. A lot of your neighbors are on pharmaceutical drugs, and you need to be aware of that, because once, I'm going to use Brother Davis's term because that's the great way to put it, once the lights go out, figuratively and literally, once the lights go out, the people that are on pharmaceutical drugs, especially those, you know, dealing with, you know, ADD or psychotropics or anything else, those people have the tendency to lose it quickly. And you have to be able to identify those people that are around you, because, you know, you're going to find that the government does, they're going to have hungry neighbors that live next to you. That's going to be the real problem. And some of the ones that are not getting their medication are going to be an extreme problem. You know, they have all of these zombie shows out now because that's a subliminal message to tell people how they're supposed to act when the lights go out. And it's not going to be zombies that are already dead and come back to life. That's the figurative speech that they're telling you. Those are going to be your neighbors that are wandering, that are hungry because they did not prepare. They did not prepare, and they're not ready for what's happening. Those are the zombies that you're going to have to deal with as people that are preppers. And that is something that is something that, that is a situation that is going to take some real planning on your behalf, and you can't waste another moment on it. You have to give real attention to it. So, Brother Davis, thank you so much for that. I hate the show is ending, but we're going to have to do this again to talk about this Agenda 21 and everything more just on the whole show. So, you know, if you're available, let's do it Wednesday.
All right, I'll take you up on that. I'll take you up on that, Dave. But just tell everybody, remember this, you must believe you can achieve the impossible, or else achieving the impossible will be impossible. Y'all be blessed.
Much love. Thank you so much, Brother Davis. Hey, everyone, that's going to be the end of the show today. Tomorrow we'll have my man Gerald that will be on. Gerald is a riot. He has some great opportunities. A great, great brother that wants to work with everyone. And he has a great business that's expanding that you need to hear about. So, okay, everyone, it's never goodbye. As always, I'll see you later. And before you ask for a blessing, make sure to be a blessing. Much love, much respect. We'll talk to you, God willing, soon. Peace.
Even with nothing, you know tenderness comes.